don't know if anybody mentioned it or not, but let's remember Brother Joe while he's away. I know y'all miss him. I know I do. He's helped me a lot over the years I've been back here at the church. I've learned a lot, you know, through his teaching, and I thank God for him. Pray for me this morning as I try to continue on this lesson and looking at war and the fact that we're in a war. And we started off just as a little bit of recap. Started off in Numbers, and we looked over there in Numbers where God had numbered the children of Israel, and He made. We read that statement, and it's found about a dozen times. It says, as they numbered them, these were able to go forth to war, able-bodied men. And we looked at that thought about, you know, are we able to go forth to war? The Lord says we're in a spiritual battle, and we talked a little bit about how that as in a physical war, I probably wouldn't be equipped to go to, say, to Iraq or to Iran. I wouldn't know how to use the weapons. I wouldn't be physically capable for the battle. And the Lord numbered these people and was looking at the aspect, those that were able to go forth to war. And I want us to be able to go forth to war. I tell you what, we're in the battle one way or another, and we're either going to be able or we're going to be a casualty. Now, talked about how we was going to make this study, make an examination of ourselves to see how we stood, or are we equipped, and to also look and see if we are equipped. Also, the study is going to hopefully help us to equip ourselves to battle, to train ourselves in the weapons that God has provided for us in this war. As I said, you know, I wouldn't know how to use the weapons they're using over in Iraq or anywhere else in the world that the military is using today. I'd have to be trained in these weapons. I'd have to be shown how to use these things. Now, like I said, now you come crawling through my window, my house, I got something for you. I know how to use that one. I'm like David said when, you know, he tried to put the armor on him. He said, I'm not familiar with these, you know what I'm saying? He said, I've not proved them. But I guarantee you, I pulled the trigger on that 12 gauge a few times. I've proved it. It will blow you in too. You know, you come sneaking into my house. So I'm ready to defend my household, or try to be ready. I keep my guns right there handy. And nowadays, you don't ever know what's going to come sneaking through the door. But I'm not prepared to go to Iraq. But I need to make sure I'm prepared for this spiritual war. And to do this, one of the things I brought up, first, you got to realize you're at war. Now, here in the United States of America, we've had it so easy. The lack of persecution against the church. How many of you, since you've been a Christian, have heard of any person here in the United States of America being taken out and martyred for the cause of Christ? How many of you have ever heard of somebody being taken out and hung, shot, head chopped off, burned up with fire? How many of you have ever heard of that happening here in the United States? We've never heard of it. But you can go to places. I know of over in India, I've heard of actually men that were taken that were preachers of the gospel, where they burned them alive, buried them alive, chopped their hands and their feet off and let them bleed to death, killed their whole family. We know that, for example, you go over in the Muslim nations, and, you know, you're not safe. You'll be put to death, especially if you get out there and try to be evangelistic. They're gonna kill you, you know. And so we don't know a whole lot about that, but we might. Soon enough. We might soon enough. And we need to get prepared, get our hearts prepared, our minds prepared for this war. So first we need to realize we're in a war. I also say, you know, we got to know who our enemies are. That's one of the problems, like going over, been a problem, like going over fighting over in Iraq. Or it was a problem when they fought over in Vietnam. Because it's hard to know who your enemies were, you know? And, you know, we probably got that problem in our churches today. Probably got all the enemies sitting in our churches. We don't realize it. And a lot of them probably don't even know it. Don't even know that they're enemies to the cross until all of a sudden a shame and a reproach has been brought against the church of things that come out. And so we need to be prepared, know who our enemies are, and prepare for this war. Realize that we are at war. And I talked about, you know, being awake. The Bible says it's high time to waken out of sleep. Now is our salvation, you know, nearer than when we first believed. Christ Jesus is coming back for the church. But until he comes, the Bible says occupy. See, we're in an occupation here. This is not our home. We're here to fight a war. Old J. Vernon McGee said a long time ago, said, I never forget, right after I first got saved, I heard him teaching on the radio. He said, look, people, we're not here to clean up the fishbowl. We're not in a social program to fix the problems that's in this world. We're not here to clean up the fishbowl. We're here to do a little bit of fishing. And God has called us to be soldiers of the cross and to fight a good warfare. And that warfare, and here's a lot of the problem, I think it's in our churches today. A lot of us feel like the warfare is against flesh and blood. We fight against governments. We fight against, our courts, and we're fighting against this issue and that issue. But the battle, the main battle, is principalities and powers. Now, what that simply is, that's men and women, that's souls where Satan has captured. Souls that belong, that the devil has taken, they're his, and we're to take the weapons that God has given us and take these strongholds with the gospel. We're to tell men, women, boys, and girls all about us the truth. And those weapons that we are carrying are able to deliver souls. And we're not here to kill. We're here, we're actually, in the warfare that we're in a rescue mission. Brother, the whole time he was over there, do you know of any rescue missions that took place where he'd go in and try to liberate people? Oh, yeah. Now, you didn't mind killing off the enemy, but you was trying to protect those that were. Now, hey, we ain't got no problem destroying these principalities, these powers, these princes of the air, the devils. We got no problem. We can destroy him, you know. We definitely want to destroy the power that they have over people through the power of the instruments of the warfare we got. Now, we started on the enemies of God and his church. And the first one we looked at was this world. This world. We looked in John, over in John, where the Bible makes it plain that this world is an enemy of God. This world system is an enemy of God. I try to bring it out. Look, and we looked at the fact that the kingdoms of this world, they belong to the enemy of God, the devil. So this world system, the governments of this world that he offered to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says, these things are in my power. He's the one that set up this world system. He's the one that set up the media. He's the one that set up your television programming. He's the one that set up the radio programming. He's the one, you know, except for where Christians are out there getting the gospel out. Other than that, you can be sure that the devil is working all these areas. He's the god of this world, the principality and the powers of the air, and we need to understand that. If you think the United States of America is a friend to the church, you're mistaken. It never has been. It never has been. God, though, turns the head of the kings, right? So God worked in this government, you know, to give an opportunity for the church to do the work of God. But to think that this government was ever a friend to the church, was ever on our side, you're sadly mistaken. Matter of fact, if you look at your history, you'll find out that the evangelistic side of this church, most of them spent time in jail during the early part of this church. You can read about up in Virginia, for example, where people used to come up to the jailhouses and they'd hold a flag up because they had walls around them, hold a flag up so the preachers that were incarcerated inside could preach to those that were outside. Why? Because this government was not a friend. Was not a friend. Now, fortunately, we had men that God used to set some things down would give us a little more liberty for a time being. But, hey, don't think it's going to last forever. It's not. We see them right now. We're on the verge of a Supreme Court decision that could make a lot of things we do against the law. And you could be just like, we can be just like they are up in Canada, preachers who preach the whole counsel of God. They can be, if somebody complains, next thing you know, they're going to be in jail on hate crimes. And we can be looking at that very shortly. That's the reason why I'm saying you better get ready for a fight. Since I got saved, I read my Bible, and I read over there in the morning, and you can find that the apostles, they were all persecuted. They were all put to the sword. They were all put to persecution. And Peter said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. The Bible said we were made as sheep for the slaughter. I mean, so you need to realize, and I've tried to teach my children from the moment I got saved, because I'd come into churches and it seemed like so many people didn't realize we're in a fight. We're in a war. It's like everything was just whoopee-doo, whoopee-doo. You know, everything was just great. Everything's going fine. But I'm telling you, we're in a war. And I tried to warn my children a long time ago, from the time I got saved, that look, the time will probably come in your lifetime where you might have to make a stand for your life. And you might as well get prepared for it. And you better get your children prepared for it. I got grandchildren now coming on. I can't imagine what's going to be like for them. See how serious this could be? This thing of being prepared for war? How serious it could be for our families? So we're old. We done made up our minds, you know. We're about done anyway. Yeah, but we got children. We got grandchildren. Amen. We got to get them prepared. And we got to be ready to fight alongside of them. So, and the second enemy I would like to look at this morning is the flesh. The flesh. I know the devil, he is a great enemy. But, you know, he can't be everywhere at all times. And I don't think that there's devils hovering over me all the time. I think they come around. Any of you ever felt their presence? Huh? Yeah. Any of you been out witnessing and buddying, and next thing you know, a dog that never acted like, they say, I don't know what's wrong with that dog. I said, yeah, you never had a Baptist preacher in your house trying to tell you about Jesus. Amen. Huh? And the devil done gotten that thing. He done gone crazy. He never tried to bite nobody. And you're sitting there doing this, you know, trying to keep him from tearing your britches legs up, you know. So, I mean, I've been around. I know. I've been around devil. I'll never forget about an eight-year-old boy that a man was afraid of him. I could tell it. You could sense it. That little boy put something out, you know what I'm saying? Out of his spirit. Something was coming out of his spirit to that grown man's spirit there. And you could tell he was scared of him, in a way. I mean, he wasn't scared that the little boy could beat him up or nothing like that. But there was something about that put something on him. And I was nervous of him, too. I could feel it. I could feel the presence. And my uncle was trying to witness to this man. And, buddy, you could feel the power and the presence of a principality of a devil in that house, you know. So I know what's up. But they don't hang around me all the time. But there's one person that I got to put up with all time. He's the worst enemy I know of, and that's me. That's me. The devil can't be around me all the time, but I am. And I'm the biggest problem I got. Paul made that very clear, did he not? Look over. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 7. We're going to look again what Paul said. We already looked at this once. We're going to look at it again. Romans chapter 7. Let's start reading in 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And you can't. You cannot live a Christian life. You cannot. Mark her down. Don't convince yourself that you can somehow cast this flesh down. And buddy, and you can take charge of it. Because you can't. It's strong. Hey, just like the devil, you're no match for the devil. You're no match for your fallen nature. Now, if Jesus Christ Himself said this, He said, of myself, I can do nothing. He said, it's the Spirit that doeth it. See, he made himself of no reputation. He laid aside everything. He took on a body. Fortunately, it was not sinful flesh, but it was still flesh. And he said, of myself, I can do nothing. But everything that the Father tells me to do, that I can do. Now, if you think that you're greater than Jesus Christ, you're sadly mistaken. We cannot do nothing of ourselves. Jesus made that plain. He said, without me, you can do nothing. It's got to be Christ in us, taking dominion. We need to be all the time acknowledging the fact that we cannot do this on our own. We got to be in constant communication. That's the reason why the Bible says pray without ceasing. That's the reason why the Bible says plainly, you know, we're to daily crucify this flesh, its affections and lusts. But we can't do it in ourselves. We have to do it in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to be yielding ourselves constantly. When you mess up, be man up. Admit it. I know the tendency. The tendency is in our pride just to keep plowing on. You know, just like when you're out driving the car and you get lost. Your wife said, won't you stop? Find out where we at. No. Our pride says, no, I can figure it out. I can do it. But you can't. You get there a half hour late because you're too proud to stop and get directions. And we do the same thing in life. We live in our lives going along, and we're trying to figure out how to do it ourselves rather than falling on our face, taking time. Our biggest failure is a prayerless life today. That's our biggest problem, is a prayerless life. That's the biggest problem we have in the churches today, is a prayerless life. And this ain't been the only age. There's been a lot of church ages they found out. In the 18th century, when things was waning and the churches were apostatized, there were men who stood up and said, we got to get back to prayer. A lot of them wrote great books about prayer, and a lot of them were great warriors of prayer. And different denominations. And they realized that prayer was essential. Matter of fact, you can look over in the book of Timothy that you'll find out that's the essential. First of all, prayers and intercessions be made for all men. So, I mean, that's an essential. That's one of those weapons we're going to have to learn about. It's one of those weapons we're going to have to do. We cannot do it in ourselves. This flesh is greater than us. The flesh, and you can see it right here, is contrary to the will of our mind. It's an enemy to your mind. Paul said, I can't do the things that I want to do in my mind because my flesh is contrary to it. See, the things that I hate, he said, that's the things that I do. You ever been there? I mean, you walk away and you weep and you say to God, I did it again. The same thing. And I hate it. I said last week, and I don't apologize for it. I said if drinking beer and smoking cigarettes would be the worst thing I ever did, I'd take it up today. But it ain't. Taking that up ain't going to help things. But if that would be the worst thing I ever did, I would take it up today. But how about hatred and variance and strife and all these things? The flesh is contrary to our mind. Look down here in Romans 8, begin reading in verses 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not a conditional verse. A lot of people read this and they think it's a conditional verse. That if, in other words, you got flesh and you got Spirit. So if you walk in after your flesh, then you're in condemnation. No, that ain't what that's saying. What that's saying is, if you're in the flesh, then you're not in the Spirit. I'm talking about that new man. You got two natures. You got an old man. You got a new man. That old man can't do nothing right. That new man can't do anything wrong. And God is taking account of everything that the new man does. And everything that the old man does has already been crucified in Christ. It's dead. And that's lost. Everything you do, that's the reason why the Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Your flesh is going to try to get you to waste time, waste your activity, waste your mind, waste your health. But thank God, as He said here, He said, I thank God through Christ. Amen. In verse 25, chapter 7, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And He said, now there's no condemnation. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. For they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we find that right here, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, thank God, 1984, I admitted that I was a sinner. I admitted I could do nothing to help myself. I said, God, You're right, and I'm wrong. And at the moment I did that, the Lord Jesus Christ come took up His abode in me, and now I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So everything, if there's anything I ever did right in my life, it was Jesus Christ who done it in me. Amen. But I'm going to be honest. I have wasted a bunch. I've wasted a bunch. I've failed. I failed yesterday. I failed this morning. I'll fail tomorrow. But ain't no excuse. That's not an excuse. You know what my problem is? The things that we're going to be looking at. I saw the need in my own life. And I look about me, and I don't think I'm much different than most other people. We need to get ready for the fight. We got to prepare ourselves. We got to exercise ourselves in the godliness. We got to spend time in the Bible. We got to spend time in prayer. We got to be spend time exercising ourselves unto godliness. People spend all kinds of time, you know, lifting them weights, you know, running and doing all this. And I'm not against that. I'm not against that. The Bible said bodily exercise profiteth little. It says, therefore, exercise thyself unto godliness, which is profitable in all things. So we need to get back to exercising ourselves, you know, making ourselves prepared. Boy, you're not going to go fight in a war and do a good job if you're not physically ready. And you're not going to go into this fight and do a good job if you're not spiritually ready. Your flesh is a great enemy. And boy, and you, if you ain't careful, you'll do like old Samson. You'll come out there and think you're in the spirit. You know? And he wished not. And we can be that shape. Oh, we still got the spirit, but we've not exercised ourselves. We're not prepared. We're not able to go forth to war. And boy, and the devil, you don't think? The devil, if you've ever tried to do anything for Jesus Christ, you're on his hit list. Amen. There was people in World War II and World War I that was on America's hit list. There was people in America that was on Germany's hit list. They wanted these men. They wanted them took out. And the devil, if you've ever tried to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got you on his hit list. You've got an enemy, and that enemy is the flesh. Look down here in verses 13. Same chapter. He says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. For if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So not only, number one, is the flesh contrary to the will of our mind. The flesh is the enemy of God. We find that. We found that down here in verses 7, that our carnal mind is enmity against God. It's an enemy of God. But the flesh is the enemy of the body in verses 13. For brethren, you're debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You see, well, I'm going to tell you something. When you're living after the flesh, hey, have you not read in the Bible where it says, and many of you sleep? Huh? You know why? Because he's living after the flesh. Many are sickly. Maybe look around here. Our churches is full of sick people. Many of them dying early. It ain't because of their, you know, of all the bad stuff that they're eating. That ain't helping. It ain't just their lack of exercise. That ain't helping. It's just the whole thing, you see. Because the flesh. It tears you apart. It wars on your mind. It wars on your body. Boy, you get in this mind, messing with this mind. How many of you ever? We're going to go there in some verses I want to show you in just a minute about that. But just think about this. How many of you ever had, now hopefully all of you have got rid of it, but ever went through a period of time where you got a little bit bitter about something? I'm not asking you to, you know, fess up. God knows. I'm not going to lie. I have. And, buddy, it eats at you. Or anger. Rage. I mean, something happens. You know, man, it's like, I'm sick of this stuff. And rage. These things will tear us apart. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. I'm going to be honest. Most of the time I get angry, I'm probably totally in the flesh, totally in sin. That righteous indignation, most of that's in my mind. Pride. Don't want to admit of another failure. But we need to be equipped. We need to have this mind. It needs to be subject to the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? Ten Commandments? No. It's the law of love and liberty. We're not under the law of the Ten Commandments. You got the Spirit of God in you. It ain't, you know, that new man, it ain't got no desire to break any of those laws. Those laws are for the lawless. But we got other problems. Lack of love. Not letting Christ live in us. Not yielding ourselves to the law of love and liberty. Most of us are under bondage to stuff. Junk. You know? Bondage. And if we ain't careful, we'll try to put each other under bondage. Expecting things from one another that Christ don't expect. Laying out rules. Man, I tell you what. I'm not calling out no names, but I mean I know people in churches and boy, they got rules. I mean, they can't have wall to wall carpet. It's gotta be at least 6 inches off the wall. I never forget, I heard one preacher say one time, he said, "I'm a God called preacher, I'm wearing a white shirt." Stuff like that. We're supposed to be under the law of liberty. Christ has set us free. And why do we want to put each other under bondage? Why we're not encouraging people in love? I ain't talking about this mush kind of love that a lot of the evangelical churches is talking about, man. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real love, because real love is sometimes hard. You know, you ever had to whoop any of them boys, Paul? You hated them, didn't you? You just want to just kill them. No. You hated whooping them. That's exactly right. But love constrains you. And love will constrain us. Love will constrain us when we know a brother's in sin. Love will constrain us to go to Him and talk to Him in love. Now, I tell you what bondage will do, though. Bondage will give you a tattler's wagon. And you'll take that little story, the things you know, and you'll carry it all around. Let everybody, I just want to let you know, Brother So-and-so is in some bad stuff. You need to pray for him. I tell you who's needing a prayer. You needing a prayer. Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. We won't be telling everything that we know. We'll be praying for them. We'll go to them privately, carefully, in love. And they'll know if you're real or not, or if you just come there in your self-righteousness. So, flesh is the enmity of the body. Look in Galatians. We need to get over there quick. Galatians. Run out of time. Galatians. You probably know where I'm going. Go to chapter 5. I said 5. I'm sorry. Galatians 4. Verses 29. It says, "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, that what saith the Scripture, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." So we see that the flesh is the enemy of the Spirit. this enemy wars against the spiritual man. This enemy of the flesh. And we need to realize that. You want to know why a lot of times you don't do the things that you want? Because you got an enemy. You got an enemy. And we're not fighting this enemy the way that we have to. And there's only one way to do it. That's according, hey, to the battle plans of this book. You got to stay with the way God said do it. That's the only way it can be done. Can't do it. Can't do it the way you think you ought to do it. Lean not to your own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. But we have a, well, I can handle it. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll take care of the flesh. I can handle it. And you'll fail. It's an enemy against the Spirit. And they war against each other. It's an enemy. You see how great this enemy is? It's hitting us from every side. It's going against our mind. It's going against our spirit. It's going against our body. We're a triune being, and this enemy, the flesh, is fighting every part of our being. Our mind, our soul, our spirit. It's attacking it. It's trying to, it hates it. It hates it. You know why? Because it's of the devil. And it hates it. It hates us. He hates his own children. He wants to destroy them too. Man, my wife teaches a bunch of parents like that. They hate their own children. You say, oh, you don't really believe. Yeah, I do. They don't discipline them. They don't teach them nothing. The Bible said he that spares the rod hates his children. Don't care for them. Look over here. Now, look down in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 19. I'm skipping over a lot of stuff. I'm having to hurry. You know, if I really studied this like I want to, we'd probably be a month just covering each one of these enemies. Look in Galatians, what did I say? 5, verses 19, that's right. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. If there's any reason why we are to hate our flesh, this here ought to be enough right here. Listen to what it said. This is in you. In me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is in you. It's in me. Listen to what it says. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. You say, I definitely ain't no witch. The Bible says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. You don't ever get a little rebellious from time to time? Have to wake up and realize that you're being rebellious and repent. Huh? You say, not me. Well, the Bible says that the husbands are to be subject to their wives. How often you find husbands and wives bucking up against one another? Have to get that thing straightened out. You know why? Because it is right here. It's in us. We want our own way. It says, hatred, variance, emulations, and wrath, strife. Come on. It's in churches all around us. Emulations and wrath and strife. People can't get along. Seditions and heresies. You see, well, it ain't. Yeah, I know there's heresies in the Methodist church. There's heresies in independent Baptist churches. I hear it preached a lot of times. Stuff is contrary to what the book actually says. They say, who are you to judge? I'm not nobody to judge. I'm not. I only got to let God judge me. I judge nothing before the time. I'm not judging this person. But I'm simply saying I've heard things preached. And buddy, and the Holy Spirit made it plain. That is not right. Hey, preacher, you've been around a lot longer than me. You know what I'm talking about, huh? It's there. Heresies. They didn't mean to preach that. They didn't mean to say anything out of line. It's just in us. We're frail. Our flesh. our pride. We'll end up saying things that we ought not. I've had to apologize. I've had to come back after teaching in a class and saying, I said something wrong. I was wrong. God made it plain to me. And come back. Make a change. Gotta hurry. It says, drunkenness, envyings. Oh, man, I ain't going there. Murders, drunkenness. We talked about that drunkenness last week. Drunkenness ain't just pouring liquor down you. It's anything where your flesh has got control of you. Whatever lust it is that you're out of control. Well, that's what drunkenness is. Out of control. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Praise God. Hey, my flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. We're going to have to, this body is going to have to be put off. That new man is going to inherit these things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So we find here what the flesh will produce, and that ought to be enough right there for us to realize we need to fight this enemy. And then, like, look in 1 John 2, 16-17, I'm done. 1 John 2, 16-17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So I'd like to say, finally, in this right here, we see the end of the flesh. It passes away. So what are we going to invest in? What do we need to be investing in? Our flesh? That's right, the spirit. You're going to be loss of rewards. Why? The flesh. There's going to be some tears. Me and a preacher was talking about this right before class. He said, I don't know the great white throne. We're going to be so happy on the great white throne. Going to be some tears. Wasted days. Wasted nights, wasted moments, wasted hours given to the flesh. There's so much I can say about that, the way we waste our time, but I can't get in that. Brother Calvin, will you pray for us this morning?